And let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your supreme glory our greatest desire. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lost my remote. So a question to begin with, and the question is, how can we see an end to war? How can we see an end to war? As we take time on Remembrance Sunday to remember with gratitude the sacrifice of those who have died so we can be safe, wouldn't it be great if that never had to happen again? Wouldn't it be great if wars could end? We've actually had a whole year without any British member of the armed forces dying in action. That's brilliant. What if that could be 2 years, or 5, or 10, or 100, and no armed forces people anywhere in the world dying? How can we see an end to war? Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and before them, Edwin Starr said, "War, huh? What is it good for? Absolutely nothing." Before them, Lennon, "Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too." People want to see an end to war. Well, what does God have to say? To find out what God has to say, we need to look at his word, the Bible. And as we do that, we're going to see two very clear things for us to do to help to answer the question, how can we see an end to war? So here's the first on the sheet. If you've got a pen, you can fill in the gaps. Seek peace with God. Seek peace with God. Ultimately, war is only going to end in eternity. You see, war is part of our human nature in rebellion against God. It's part of what we're like as human beings who turn our back on God. It's something that we do. And it's always going to be a feature of our lives somehow. In this age, there's always going to be war. But the good news is that God has done something in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that there will be one day an age, an existence, where there's no war. So if you want to see an end to war, you need to be in that place, what we call the new creation. So why is there war? Well, war comes from human beings hating each other and doing something about that violently, doesn't it? It comes from human nature tainted by sin. Sin is that part of us, that idea within ourselves where we exalt ourselves, we put ourselves at the centre of everything, and we put God to one side. We say, I know how to do things, no matter what God wants to say about it. And it's like an epidemic disease. It's not just that one person's got it, but we spread it to each other, and we catch it when we're born. So here's a passage from the Bible, James chapter 4, on the sheets and on the screen. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. It's bleak, isn't it? But it's absolutely true. And the sad thing is that that passage is actually written to Christians, people who trust in Jesus. But it applies to them, it applies to every person you can think of. And it scales up, doesn't it? So it's not just about individual relations. It scales up to nations and how nations treat each other. Now, from a Christian point of view and looking through what God has to say in the Bible, it's possible to come up with a theory called the just war theory. It's an idea where there are certain reasons why you could, as a nation, go to war. So, for example, to end oppression, to stop some dreadful injustice being done by another nation, to protect people and bring safety. And with this theory, as you read through different passages in the Bible, you'll see there are various restrictions to it and various ways in which war should be fought. The trouble is, even with a just war theory, it's tainted by our sin, isn't it? Because who puts it into practice? Human beings like you and me. And what's wrong with us? We've got a problem, haven't we? So, for example, in the Second World War, you could say that, from the point of view of the Allies, that was waged as a just war. We wanted to bring an end to Hitler and Nazi oppression. And that was a right thing to do. But even in that war, it wasn't always waged in a just way by the Allies. So, for example, Dresden, controversial. It was firebombed, and yet there was no industrial or military advantage to it from our side. So even when you're trying to fight a just war, things can go wrong or not be done right. If you're a member of the armed forces, this does make life difficult. You have to trust your commanders to get it right, and maybe they won't. And maybe there are times when you can help them to get it right and try and change things. But there are some times when you won't be able to. So why is there war? Because of our human nature, which wants to be at war with God, essentially. And that is what sin is, isn't it? It's being at war with God. Have a look at that next passage on the sheets there. Colossians 1, verse 21. The Apostle Paul writing to Christians saying, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour." Enemies from God. At war with God. It's what living our way instead of his does to us. Now you might say, hang on a minute. I'm not Hitler. I'm not Stalin. I'm not Idi Amin. I'm not the person who leads to these wars happening. The trouble is, the seeds of what drove them to bring about war, the seeds of those things are in our hearts and minds. So listen to what Jesus says about murder. Matthew 5, verse 21. Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.'" That was one of the Ten Commandments. "But I tell you," says Jesus, "that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." So there's murder actually starting in our own hearts when we're just angry with someone. And it's the same with war. And it's why there will always be war, tragically, in this age. Jesus, shortly before he died, said to his disciples, Mark chapter 13, "When you hear of wars and rumours of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." While we're in this age, until we wait for Jesus to return, war is going to be there. So how can we end war? Some people thought that the First World War was the war to end war. In fact, that was a quote that comes from H.G. Wells, the British author, during the First World War. The war to end war. It was so terrible. Surely people would look at this and say, "Never again." And Woodrow Wilson, the American president, used that phrase as part of his justification for America entering the First World War. Things will be never, we never have a war after this. It's so terrible. And yet now we look back at that sadly, and it's just a sardonic phrase, isn't it? How could they even think that? Many have blamed religion for war. Even people have said that Hitler was a Christian, and so it's Christians behind the Second World War, which is a bizarre idea, Hitler being a Christian. Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, got it right, I think. He said this, he wrote, "Many and sharp the numerous ills inwoven with our frame. More pointed still, we make ourselves regret, remorse and shame. And man, whose heaven-erected face the smiles of love adorn, man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands mourn." It's right, isn't it? Sin. Man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands mourn. How can war end? It can only end if God stops us being his enemies. If God can do something about the sin in our hearts and take that away, then war will end. And that is exactly what Jesus is about. That verse I read from Colossians 1 earlier, it continues. "So once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body," talking about Jesus' death on the cross. "He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. See, Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice to change us, transform us, to take away the sin and the punishment that we deserve for it, which is death, that's why he died, so that we could be holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Not that we deserve that, not that we actually are that, but he makes us like that through what he's done. And then Jesus was raised to life again on the third day. So he died on Friday. On the Sunday, he's alive again. And with that new life, he gives us a new life with God, a relationship with God that will go into that new age to come, where there will be no war because there'll be no sin. It's a wonderful picture of that new age in the end of the Bible, right, the very last chapter of the Bible. And it describes part of the, it describes heaven in picture language. And one of the things it says is on each side of the river of life will be the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So no war in that new age with that new life brought about by the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to be in that place where there is no war, then we need to seek peace with God through Jesus. And it's a profound measure of the power of the cross of Christ, that in his death, somehow, that one death can bring the solution to war. And us being enemies with God, our war with God, and also being enemies with each other. It's a solution for the countless thousands who mourn. And it's freely offered. What great power through that great love in his death on the cross. And it's important because war can often seem like a problem that's out there, can't it? It's for someone else. And many of you here have been involved in war. But even now as you sit here, that's in the past and other people are doing it. It's easy to blame Blair, isn't it? And point the finger at other people. But what we see in the Bible is that the problem lies fairly and squarely with us. And it needs to be dealt with us as much as anyone else. Seek peace with God. And this is good news, isn't it? If you feel the guilt that comes through war, war has a terrible emotional impact on people. It has a physical impact. But the emotional and mental impact is often not counted enough. Killing someone, surviving when your friends didn't, knowing there was something different that perhaps could have been done, can leave you feeling beyond redemption. And that guilt may be wrong in a sense. It may be that there was nothing that there could be done. It may be that you did everything you could, but still you feel it. Well, here is the immense wonder and power of Jesus' death. Come now, says the Lord, Isaiah 1:18 on the sheets. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Jesus' death can present us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So seek peace with God. If you don't know peace with God, do something about it. I mentioned earlier in the pews those two leaflets, one the Christianity Explored one and the other the Journey into Life booklet. Do take them, read the booklet, sign up for our Christianity Explored course and seek peace with God. But here's the other, seek peace with each other. How can we see an end to war? Seek peace with God. And number two, seek peace with each other. Because while we wait for that new age where there will be no war, we can still do something today to lessen the impact of sin. Are you someone who trusts in Jesus? Then you may not be able to end war, but you can make a difference. You can make a difference. Jesus calls us to be salt and light. So here's Matthew 5, verse 13. You're the salt of the earth, Jesus says. He says, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So if you're like the light of the world, you should be shining out to people. If you're like salt, you should be making a difference. It's what we're like. If you're trusting in Jesus, we can make a difference in this world now. Jesus calls us to justice, mercy, and humility before God. So the great words of the prophet Micah, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And we can do this as a soldier, or any member of the armed forces. Christian can be in the armed forces. Of course they can. Serving people, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with their God, being salt and light to the world around them. How will you lead as a member of the armed forces? Will you do it for Jesus? How will you follow? How will you treat those around you? How will you fight? Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. And if you can do it as a soldier, you can do it as a civilian, can't you? Yeah? Each one of us can do this in our lives. We can seek peace with each other while we wait for the new age that Jesus will bring. We can echo what he wants in our lives. Imagine you come across a bike accident. Someone's lying there on the road, they've fallen off their bike, they've broken their leg and they're bleeding. What do you do? You're not a doctor. You're not a surgeon. Maybe some of you are, but most of us aren't. Perhaps you've done a little bit of first aid. So do you stand back and go, "Well, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a surgeon, I better leave it, mess it up." Or do you go, "I'm going to help that person as much as I can with the first aid I've got while I wait for the ambulance to arrive?" Of course that's what you do, isn't it? So we might not be able to end war, and only the Lord Jesus can do that. But while we wait for him, with his help, we can get on with some first aid, can't we? So I've got three ideas. I'm sure there's many things we can do, but there's lots of ways we can make a difference. Here are three ideas. First of all, start at home. Start at home. Be a peacemaker in personal relationships. Why don't we be like Christ is to us, to those around us? He makes peace with God for us. We were enemies with God, but he's dealt with that and reconciled us. Well, why don't we do what we can to reconcile our friends, or us with our friends and family? Remember those lovely words from Colossians 1, how he turns everything around. We were alienated from him, but he's changed that. Well, we can do that with our friends, can't we? You and I probably can't solve what's going on in Yemen, but we can help with family relationships. An early apology might make a supreme difference in a family, mightn't it? Start at home, be a peacemaker. What else can we do? We can support those who are damaged by war. That's what we're doing with wearing the poppies, isn't it? We're paid for these. We put some money in a box. And that money goes to help people. There are other ways we can help. We live here amongst the Hague community. I'm sure there's different things we can do to help people who are damaged by war. What are the practical things we can do? Something for us as St. Lawrence Church to think about. And number three, we can lobby for justice and mercy. We do live in a parliamentary democracy. Now, recent events have maybe proved that even a parliamentary democracy might not be the best way of doing things, but anyway, it gives us an opportunity to influence people, doesn't it? The policymakers, we can write to them. We can send them emails. We can even write on a piece of paper. We can join in with petitions. We can use our vote wisely. We can think about what would be salt and light in a particular situation. What would be to act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with God? And if we see someone, our local MP or someone in Parliament, in Cabinet or whatever, not doing that, we can write and say, "Why don't you do this instead? This would be better, wouldn't it?" We can lobby for justice and mercy. So let's seek peace with each other. How can we see an end to war? Well, you may have noticed I haven't asked or answered some of the big questions. There are lots of big questions about war out there. And I knew we wouldn't have time today, but I also wanted to do something much more personal and practical. Very interesting, the intricacies of just war theory, but much more important that we know how to live for Christ. So seek peace with God. Seek peace with each other. It's not rocket science. If you stop and think for a moment, it's based on Jesus' summary of the law and how to live. Love God, love your neighbour. It is the answer. War will only end in eternity. Will you make sure that you're there? through Jesus, will you seek peace with God? In the meantime, will you do something to lessen the impact of sin and seek peace with each other? Let's pray. Why don't we just spend a moment in quiet, bringing our thoughts before the Lord God Almighty in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow because of him. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool because of him. And Lord, we pray for your help to seek you and the peace that can be had with you, and to seek peace with each other. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.